Friday, short work week. We're done. Well, almost. Hey, good morning, everyone. Yesterday, I know I delivered you a forecast that, actually sounds very similar to what they're describing today will be like. 60% chance of showers and or a thunderstorm. Only yesterday, the forecast was good to be cloudy all day long, and it just was not, right? The forecast said 23 yesterday. It got hotter than that. Sunshine at 27 by 4 in the afternoon, which, for those of you who are paying attention to guaranteed weather, that's more than 3 degrees off, so there will be a winner of some cash here. I'll get to that in a moment on guaranteed weather. But yeah, I walked out, 3:30 yesterday into my backyard to have a look at the tomatoes, give them a little water, and man, I'm just going to rest here in the hammock for a half hour, taking the sun. It was hot, 27 degrees. Last night, no rain. Nothing yet here this morning in Regina, but they say it is going to cloud over and rain later today, tonight, and tomorrow. Here's hoping moisture gets around to where it's really needed this weekend, in particular the north. I guess places like LaRange, Meadow Lake, Melfort, Nipawin, North Battleford, and PA could see up to 3 inches of rain. There's a system spilling that way. Some of those communities just experiencing their driest July on record. And here we are looking for this rain to develop that's in the forecast. And it's right now, as I said, not till Sunday does it look like it's going to really turn around. And if you're on vacation next week, you're going to love it because it's going to get sunny and hot all week long. But if you're looking for something to do this weekend, rain or shine, no matter what happens, I know over in front of the ledge tonight and through tomorrow, they're calling it a food lover's dream. Something called Regina Foodie Land will be set up. Food trucks, local businesses setting up all their eats, live music, beer gardens, bouncy houses for the kids, a car show. It's free entry 5 till 10 tonight. And from noon till 10 tomorrow in front of the ledge there. But entry may be free, but of course, there's a cost to some of which I just described is happening there too. Also, I just want to give you a heads up, the Lotto Max, $60 million tonight. I do need to get some gas, so I know I'm going to have to grab a ticket, part of my retirement planning, which I am now seriously giving thought to playing VLTs as part of my retirement plan. Man, two new small town Saskatchewan millionaires. One lady at Palmaker Cree Nation hit Sega's smoke signals jackpot, I heard, at the casino in North Battleford, and she won $1.4 million. And another lady won $1.2 million on a VLT in Shell Lake. So, man, up north, as lousy as the wildfire situation is, kind of lucky for a few there, which is nice to see here, too. Oh, and parents, just a quick reminder. I know the city's fall leisure guide is out right now, and it's online. And registration for fall programs is next Tuesday morning at 7 o'clock. And you're thinking, well, it's only Friday. But maybe this weekend, when you think of it, you could go in if you have an account set up. That's really wise. If you don't, set one up on the city website. But this weekend, you could maybe spend a little time perusing for all the fall activities, in particular swimming lessons. You favorite those into your account to make it easier next Tuesday morning when registration opens up at 7 o'clock. And I know many of you know that it's tough getting what you want. Everyone's on there, signed up at the exact same time. But just a little tip, maybe fill in your favorites this weekend and be extra prepared for when that goes live next Tuesday morning. Shout out to the Regina Red Sox. Beat Medicine Hat last night at Curry Field. Sox came out of the gate, scored 7 runs in the first 2 innings and never looked back. The final was 13-7. So, round 2. The Sox will either play at home Sunday or Monday. If Saskatoon wins tonight, it'll be Monday. If Moose Jaw wins tonight, beating the Berries, then round 2 for the Sox will start Sunday. Such a great song still. I can't say, baby, where I'll be in a year. Yeah, there you go. That's what a wake up. A little Aerosmith with you. It's Craig Morgan here. Not the greatest camping weekend. Might get a little soggy through today, tonight, and tomorrow. Better Sunday. But yeah, all next week looks like it's going to be nothing but sunshine and heating up again. I know David Phillips from Environment Canada was on a few days ago, and he said, wait, just wait. We get through this sogginess. And he believes August is going to be warmer than normal. And looking good for next week if that's your vacation week. When? Not for me. I'm kind of just a couple of extra long weekends. Next weekend, I took the next Monday off, one after that, to go to Cypress Hills. Couple of small trips, and then my summer fun might be over with here. But I've had a good summer so far. How about you? What are you up to this weekend? 1-877-300-7275. How's your weekend looking? If you have camping plans, by the way, Robin Campesi at SAS Park shared with me the most popular park options and what August is looking like as far as availability right now.
You know, the usual ones that you would expect. Good Spirit. Cypress Hills is always a busy destination. Duck Mountain is always popular for people for kind of those longer term stays. So if you're thinking about camping this season, it's very easy. Just go online, book that site or glamping dome or cabin. No matter what your preference is, we'd love to see you. As we get closer to mid-August, there's a lot of availability for campsites across the park system. So, and it's a great time to camp then. The parks are quieter, but the weather usually stays nice for those beach or boat days, and we would love to have you.
Yeah, we're a couple of weekends ago from returning to Cypress Hills, where my buddy Belton Johnson, Grey Cup champ, Green Zone analyst, has gone for the very first time. Belton sharing photos, showing off his cabin. He's having a blast on his holidays. I feel like I'm on holidays with him. He's always sharing photos, but good to see. Hey, I just want to turn to tennis here for a moment. 18-year-old Victoria Mboko making us all proud. I don't even like tennis. Well, I should say when I was younger, I kind of enjoyed playing it, and I still would if someone handed me a racket and said, let's go. But I never watch tennis. But I'm caught up in this story about Victoria here. She's a teenager, 18 years old, and was the wild card entry in the National Bank Open Tennis Tournament final after pulling off an epic comeback the other night. Last night, she's back in action in the final. And we pick it up at game point.
So after 2 hours and 3 minutes, a roller coaster ride has brought Victoria Mboko to championship point. The maiden of Montreal, at just 18 years of age, Victoria Mboko completes a magnificent run to her first tour title. And that's even more special because she's done it in front of her home fans.
Yeah, that accomplishment is made even greater because she had to rally back through the pain of a wrist injury, too, from the game the night before, right, to defeat the four-time Grand Slam winner Naomi Osaka last night, who didn't show too much appreciation in her speech after losing.
I don't really want to take up too much time, so I'll just say thank you to everyone. Thank you to my team. Thank you to the ball kids. Thank you to the organizers and all the volunteers. And I hope you guys had a good night.
Yeah, no mention of Mboko, who thanked her.
I also want to thank Naomi for an incredible match. I've always looked up to her when I was really little, so it's always great to play with such an amazing player like you.
Quite the run, though. She beat four Grand Slam champions on the way to last night's trophy, came back from a set down in her last two matches, 18 years old. And as much as it sounds like a fairy tale, I know it isn't. It's pure God-given talent and an enormous amount of hard work. But that might be the best story in sports here this morning. Yes, it is a hard-working job on the farm. We appreciate it here in Saskatchewan and our farming community. Of course, some pockets of Saskatchewan better off than others as far as rainfall over the last few months here. And encouraging rain for central and northern Saskatchewan here this weekend, by the looks of it, could get up to 2 or 3 inches of rain in some parts here. But, well, some areas remain fairly dry, as in that southwest. Overall, I think there's a lot of farming communities that are pretty excited about getting to the fields for this fall harvest, and many in good shape. But, you know, this weekend is Saskatchewan Open Farm Days. It's a chance for you to tour a list of local farms, where you can find them all at skopenfarmdays.ca. And Seven Meadows Greenhouse is actually one of these 40 farms participating across the province this weekend, who are all trying to connect you, the consumer, with the producers and asking questions, visiting, finding out what it's like. Now, Ward Heptin has set up shop with his family there near Regina Beach at Seven Meadows Greenhouse, and that's where I'm going to stop here and check out myself right now. Welcome to the show, Ward.
Thank you. I appreciate the call. I appreciate being a part of this.
You've lived your life on the farm, but left ag a few years back, and now you've become a grower using hydroponics and a high wire system.
Yeah, that's correct. We have a commercial greenhouse here, which we grow a variety of tomatoes and peppers and cucumbers, and we use hydroponics with grow bags and cut coconut husks. The tomato plants will grow up to 60, 70 feet in length during the course of the season.
Wow.
Really, technology that's been developed in other parts of the world, both in Holland and in Israel, they've really kind of pioneered a lot of this work. We've learned from, there's a gentleman here who's kind of helped that to get us going. He's now retired, but he was really instrumental in getting the greenhouse industry started in Saskatchewan. His name is Tom Wright. He was up in the Melfort area. He connected us to this greenhouse that had been operating in Birchill, Saskatchewan for over 25 years. We ended up going up and buying that greenhouse, dismantled it, brought it down to Regina Beach, rebuilt it here, and built a facility in front of that. So we make homemade pasta sauces and cucumber salsa, which is kind of unique to Seven Meadows. We also make relish, but all the products that we grow in the greenhouse, we also bring into the kitchen, and magically they appear in a jar.
It all sounds pretty delicious. So how different is it from your background in ag, of course, on the fields to hydroponics? What's that experience like for you?
You know, so the field, you're subject to all kinds of things that you have no control of. In the greenhouse, you have to be very attentive to what's going on. We are chemical free, so we use biologicals to control any pests that might come in. So we introduce other kinds of, like, say, a wasp or ladybugs or different things like that to control any predators that might come into the facility. So as soon as the plants start to grow, we bring in seven different insects that we've introduced in there to be able to protect that environment. It's very different compared to what you'd have in an open field.
It's remarkable, the process you're going through there. Ward Heptin is my guest from Seven Meadows Greenhouse. I know Tourism Saskatchewan is a part of this. Sask Open Farm Days are here, and your chance to tour local farms. How important is it for you to spread the word of what it is you're doing there and help explain how food leaves the farm gate and gets to our plates?
I think Saskatchewan Tourism has done a fantastic job of being able to connect the community of Saskatchewan, to allow people to come out and experience all the different manners in which food is grown. Just to make that awareness creates a quite much more of an intimate experience for everybody in relation to the value that farms bring to Saskatchewan and to Canada. To see the diversity of what exists in Saskatchewan and the different ways that people are growing food, connecting to the community, I think that for us, when people come out here, they always marvel. They see these plants that are 50, 60 feet long that are growing to the roof, literally weighted down with all kinds of produce on them. And the whole idea of the open farm days that allows the community to come together to see how their food is growing, I think it's just a really wonderful event that Tourism Saskatchewan has put on.
You know, we've had some hazy days. It hasn't been consistently hot. It's been kind of rainy and cool, and nothing's been really consistent in our growing season. And some farms are pretty darn healthy. Others are kind of at the point now where they're crop sweating a little as they look out at their fields. What's it like for you?
There is things that can happen. We had a situation with our hydroponic system here a few weeks back that caused us to put in about 3 days of super intensive work. And unfortunately, well, it cost us a significant amount in production. We were not able to keep up with the supply. So things can go bad no matter what, when you're involved in business, when you're involved in agriculture. But things still happen here, and you have to be, every day you have to be in your greenhouse and really paying attention to what's going on.
How can you get to a farm this weekend and tour?
So Open Farm Days has a website, and you can see all the farms that are going to be host farms for Open Farm Days. Last year was the inaugural event. It was a fantastic event. The attendance was great. Bus tours came out here. So if you go on the website, you can see a list of all the various farms that are hosting. For us, we are 4 kilometers straight south of Regina Beach. So super easy to get to, just a little over 30 minutes from the outskirts of Regina.
Awesome. Well, it's been great catching up with you, Ward. Thank you so much for the insight to Seven Meadows Greenhouse, one of 40 farms you can check out right now on the website, skopenfarmdays.ca. Yeah, this is one of the most underappreciated April Wine songs. Rock and roll is a vicious game. Love that one. Frank, my producer, coming through this morning, keeping me awake on a morning. I came into work. I know it's a short work week and I should feel better that we've already arrived, but it's just been hard getting out of the sack. Do you find it right now? Like, there's so many people on vacation here at the office, or your friends, your family that might be vacationing. You just kind of have that funk where if you're not on vacation, it's no fun. Just kind of a weird feeling right now. But hey, the weekend is here. Over at City Council, here come the lawsuits. A couple former city workers are suing the city over the terms of their dismissal. Lee Pham, Audrey Young were both fired back in April and are looking for damages, saying that the city breached its contracts with them, and both claim they lost out on money and benefits they would have received under contract. Young was director of Indigenous Relations. Pham was chief of staff to the former city manager, Nikki Anderson. The two were fired the same time Anderson went on leave, if you recall. The city says it's aware of these lawsuits, but of course they're making no comment, which, yeah, it gets a little frustrating. But, you know, I had the mayor on. He wasn't here this week, but I did have the mayor commenting last week, if you missed it, in regards to the firing of former city manager Nikki Anderson, who council voted to fire last week, right, without giving any reason to us why they were firing her. I even asked the mayor last week on the show, why not just tell us with transparency why you're firing her and what sort of settlement might occur? If you missed it, here's what he said.
That's fair, and I understand the desire for that transparency and the details, but I can tell you that, you know, council wanted to go a new direction in terms of city leadership. We felt it necessary to ensure alignment with this new council's direction. I mean, there's 9 out of 11 new councillors. You know, and I want to reiterate, it was a dismissal without cause. So for those different reasons, we have to be cautious, being a personnel matter as well, about what we can and can't share.
Are you counseled by legal that they tell you, say nothing, so you're concerned about severance? Would it make it worse if you said anything more? Are you ever counseled like that?
100%. Absolutely. We, you know, because at the end of the day, one of my responsibilities is to make sure that we do not put the city in any tricky or risky position in any capacity. And so absolutely, I want to make sure that that's the case, to make sure that we protect the city, and that's our responsibility.
So we're going to be on the line, obviously, for severance, because there was a 5-year contract.
Yeah, for sure. And it will, and there will be severance in alignment with the contract. Those details will be made public once the details are exactly worked out.
Chad Baczynski. So we'll monitor that and see where we're headed next. But what I can tell you next is the CFL was pretty darn good last night with the Ticats hosting the BC Lions. Epic finish. Nathan Rourke, he threw for like 408 yards, couple of TDs. BC win in overtime. This was a fun game to watch. The final minute, the Lions need a touchdown.
They got a chance. 47 seconds, lots of time. First down, Rourke has time. Looks to the end zone! It is caught! A touchdown for James Butler!
So that gave the Lions a 3-point lead, but the Ticats come back. They kick a field goal, send it to overtime, 38-38. Hamilton gets the ball first in overtime, and it did not go well.
Mitchell looking that way, deflected but caught by Tim White, coming back to the ball. It comes out! It's BC's ball!
Costly mistake. It's overtime. Now BC just needs to work in at least a point for the win. That would come off the foot of Sean White.
White up and through, and the BC Lions turn the tables on the Ticats.
Yeah, 41-38 for BC, with the Riders on a bye hosting Hamilton next Saturday. The Ticats are coming to town and try to start another win streak, because that one ended their win streak at 6. Bo Levi immediately after the game thinking Saskatchewan.
You know, you took a punch, get back up, and, you know, let's go face somebody bigger, right? I'm excited about it, and I'm ready for it. There's no, yeah, you have to go play this team. Yeah, this guy got injured. No, we want Sask, and we're ready for him.
We want Sask. We want that game a week from Saturday. Hey, tonight the Elks are in Montreal. Next game to watch this weekend, though, I think that's going to be Sunday when the Stamps host the Bombers, and Zach is playing at 5 o'clock.